Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nevishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane Om Agyana Timrhandasya Kena Agyana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyam Namo Namaha. So last night we heard how Krishna had reassured those boys that these were generous Brahmin souls and they should go there and become well laden with foodstuffs which they could bring back to him. But in fact, exactly the opposite happened. Krishna actually knew the condition of those brahmanas' hearts. He knew that they were foolish, despite the respect that they were being shown by others. Wishing to enjoy heavenly delights is not the goal of pure religious practice. Brahmanas are the natural heads of Vedic society. And because these Brahmanas were sleeping under the spell of false satisfaction, they were thereby misusing their position. Krishna wanted to wake them up. But far, far more importantly, he wanted to show his favor to the wives of those brahmanas. Whilst glorifying the generosity of trees, he contrasted them against these non-generous brahmanas. But if the husbands had actually given food when they were requested, there would have been no reason to return and ask their wives. And this leela then would not have taken place. And it was not possible for the boys to go directly to the wives of the brahmanas without first approaching their husbands. Before hearing about the wives of these brahmanas, it is quite important to understand the social setting. Because of their position in society, these young ladies were very, very rigidly governed by Vedic regulations. And practically, they were forbidden to enter, to go outside of their own compound. It was unheard of for pious Brahmin ladies to look at, to speak to, or to mix with another man. They never did this, even in their dreams. After Krishna spoke to the boys, they became very excited to return. But this time they wanted to meet the ladies. But still they were doubtful. What if their husbands would prevent these ladies from being generous? Krishna was certain that they would not be able to restrain their wives. When the ladies found out that he was nearby, he assured them that the ladies would definitely satisfy the boys' desires. Then, with longing in his voice, Krishna told them, "Tell them that I have come near." Thus, with renewed confidence and enthusiasm, the boys all left together, running and playing and laughing, and they competed to see who could get there first. When they arrived, they avoided the Yajnashala where the Brahmins were, and instead they went straight to the Patnishala, or where the ladies were remaining inside. They went to the private quarters of these ladies. The ladies had gathered together, many Brahmin ladies, to cook all the first-class food required for the yajna. And when they completed their cooking, they bathed, they dressed, they ornamented themselves in gold jewelry, gold around their arms, necklaces, gold armbands. And then they sat down together. And all together they began to sit in little groups and simply talk about Krishna. Due to separation from Krishna, they had given up all kinds of sense gratification, all kinds of enjoyment. Yet their bodies shone with an attractive radiance, rivaling the glowing of the full moon. In separation, these ladies could not find any pleasure. Yet although they were unhappy, they maintained a joyful state of mind due to the strength of their affection for he who acted as a celestial medicinal herb that would sustain them. During any kind of ceremony, these beautiful Brahmin ladies always behaved perfectly according to time and circumstances. And their love for the Lord enabled them to act properly every time. They displayed the limit of worldly conduct by welcoming guests with sweet words and serving them first-class food. Although speaking in a straightforward way, they appeared very soft-hearted, as personifications of parental affection. They never ignored the pleas of hungry children. Tolerating the shouts of their angry husbands, they appeared as the embodiments of forgiveness, and every one of them exhibited wonderful qualities, culminating in absolute dedication to the Lord. Then the ladies saw the boys entering their quarters, gazing at them. They were instantly attracted to Krishna's friends. They saw them wearing garments suitable to walk on the forest paths with the cows, carrying glorious sticks and flutes, and also wearing some peacock feathers in their hair. They saw their beautiful earrings and the graceful flower garlands around their necks. Upon seeing these boys, the Brahmins' wives melted in love for Krishna. The boys spoke. They said, "O magnanimous wives of the greatest of Brahmanas, we offer our respects to your lotus feet, which are the source of all generosity and happiness. We are very close friends of Krishna, the personification of all bliss and knowledge. Please listen to our humble appeal." That one utterance of Krishna's name resonated in the ears of the Brahmana's wives millions and millions of times. Startled and astonished, they forgot everything and they said, "What kind of mantra is this?" Just as a she-deer becomes helplessly attracted by the sound of the hunter's flute, the Yajnapatnis swooned in ecstasy upon hearing the sound of Krishna's name. Those pure-hearted ladies stopped everything and they looked at the cowherd boys and they fixed their minds in meditation on Krishna. Noticing that the wives had become stunned, the boys repeated their words for a second time. But the ladies, thinking that the cowherd boys' twice spoken declaration to be an unprecedented festival of bliss, the wives remained overcome. They didn't know what to do. They were ripped apart by a constant yearning to see Krishna. And now before them stood his friends, more dear to him than his own life's breath. Friends sent personally by Krishna. How could these saintly ladies remain peaceful and composed at this moment? Remembering Krishna's reassuring words, the boys smiled, looked at the ladies, and decided to repeat and complete their request. "O wives of the Brahmanas, we are very, very hungry. We did not take any breakfast and we've been playing all day. The Prince of Vrindavan, who is the object of your worship, sent us to beg some food. Krishna is waiting nearby with Balaram, who always showers Krishna with joy. Our dear friend is known throughout the whole world. Surely you must have heard about him from the lips of great devotees. Even as a little baby, he made cruel Putana famous by giving her the position of a nurse. And as a small boy, he pushed Trinavartana all the way down to the earth, and he turned Bakasura into an ugly corpse. And he vanquished the demon Aga, and he banished Kaliya from the Jamuna. What more can we tell you about his fantastic exploits? The glories of all demons and all devotees in the entire material and spiritual creation cannot compare with even one drop in the ocean of Krishna's unlimited glories. And now he has come. Please arrange to feed him. Upon hearing these words, the hearts of those ladies immediately melted in ecstatic love. They became totally stunned. They felt that the great treasure of Krishna's form, which is a constant flow of beauty, had suddenly manifest before them. The thought of directly meeting Krishna stole their hearts, and somehow or another, the eternal perfection that they had always longed for appeared to be now beckoning them forward. Drowning in an ocean of bliss, their eyes filled with tears, their senses went numb and stopped working. This newly acquired good fortune enhanced their beauty and infused them with a new energy. The Yajnapatni's eyes became filled with the form of Krishna. Seeing their increasingly ecstatic trance, the cowherd boys were very perplexed. They looked at one another in astonishment and they said, "Upon hearing our appeal, these respectable ladies have become mad with desire to see Krishna. Their actions are very strange. They're not moving. They're not speaking. They're not looking at anything. Maybe some inauspicious planet has hypnotized them. It's not surprising that the Brahmanas treated us so rudely and totally ignored us and did not even acknowledge our arrival or give us anything. But we're amazed that their lotus-like wives are also failing to give us anything. And they're even after attentively hearing our request and showing us so much attention and affection, they're not helping us either. The ladies were stunned, recognizing their good fortune. But as soon as they came to their senses, they understood that Krishna was hungry, and they immediately criticized themselves for their momentary delay. Now, they hastily began to prepare everything. As the cowherd boys looked on, these ladies went into their huge kitchens and they made many, many high-class preparations. They had made many, many high-class preparations to be offered to the devatas in the yajna. And now they gathered up everything. On large plates, they expertly placed rice and vegetables and other delicious foods which represented their loving desire to please Krishna. These delicious items included creamy cakes, sweetbreads, dahi wada, chapatis, and a full array of delicacies in all the different varieties of foods. In truth, they took everything. They didn't leave anything behind for their husbands. They placed all the varieties of food into big golden pots with crystal lids, and they placed a white silken cloth and tied it around these pots. And then these ladies then placed these pots on their heads and in their arms and on their palms. They were very skillful at bringing so many things at one time. They carried all these pots, and within each pot there were many separate containers and layers of different kinds of foods. And do you know, although they were so eager to see Krishna, they very carefully arranged for plates and cups and bowls and serving spoons to be taken as well. They did this. Everything was done in speed, very, very quickly. And they took all the plates and cups and bowls that were meant to be serving the feast at the yajna. And when they were ready, they were preparing to follow the boys to Krishna. Suddenly, there was a great commotion coming from the Patnishala. First the boys arrived and went inside, and now the ladies could be seen walking out, and they were carrying pots on their heads of all the things that were prepared for their husbands. And everybody started crowding around to see what was happening. The Brahmins had to stop the yajna to come and see what was taking place. They were told that all the offerings were going to Krishna and Balaram. And when they understood what was happening, they hastily restrained their wives. The Yajnapatnis, however, simply ignored all the crowds of people milling around in the sacrificial arena. They held the pots on their heads and in their upraised palms, and they kept walking. Then everyone in the village came to stop them. But the wives did not utter even a word. They just kept walking. And then there was a huge commotion. And all the wives would say was, "I must go. I must go. It is necessary for me to go. I do not belong to anybody. I am not going to stop here for anything." And they kept walking. The brahmanas were horrified. "This is completely improper. You are going to meet another man and serve him." The wives said, "No matter what you say, we will go anyway." "What will people think? Your reputations will be ruined. If it's necessary, we can send somebody else to feed these boys. But you cannot go. You must stay here." And then, because argument was not working, family members came from both sides and they grabbed their arms. But the ladies fiercely pulled their arms away and they kept walking. They said, "Let go of my hand. Let go of me. I don't belong to you. I know no one but Krishna. I have to go." As the brahmanas tried to restrain them, they began to increase their speed, or they walked in different directions or behind trees to prevent their husbands from seeing them or stopping them. Those ladies were so surrendered. They did not care what happened next. Like rivers flow down a mountain towards the sea, and they do not come back. They went to Krishna with no intention to go back. While walking, those ladies communicated with each other through eye movements. And occasionally, they turned their lotus faces towards Krishna, towards Krishna's friends. They held their pots and they walked with the grandeur of she elephants. How much farther, how much further to Krishna? They eagerly asked after every step. The weight of their excessive love for Krishna appeared like a heavy jeweled necklace around their necks, melting into their hearts. Anxiety filled their minds due to the heavy weight of the pots and their full breasts and hips. The ladies proceeded very slowly but steadily towards the Lord of their hearts. Though walking was painful, because these ladies were such surrendered souls, they felt no inconvenience while going to Krishna. And so I feel very guilty tonight, especially guilty tonight, to disappoint you by not telling you how wonderful it was when they saw Krishna. Tomorrow we have a special day, and I'm sure that everyone who is here tonight will come very, very eager tomorrow night, the night after tomorrow night, not tomorrow night, the night after tomorrow night, to hear what happened when those beautiful young Brahmin ladies, like rivers coming down from the mountain, finally approached the object of their constant meditation. Thank you. Hare Krishna.